Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Jewel Network Science Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming science, knowledge, and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society on planet Earth. The Jewel Network is committed to broadcasting the sciences of life and the sciences of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you are being able to extract the very best the current 21st century has to offer. You are listening to the Dr. Jewel's Brain Balancing Program and more with your host, physician and surgeon, microbiologist, preventive medicine and hygiene physician, and Surgeon General, Dr. Jewel Pooler.
Greetings, and we are back with the Dr. Jewel's Brain Balancing Program, and as you know, we talk about brain balancing here, but we are facing a much more formidable challenge lately. I'm sure all of you have heard of the COVID-19 virus, coronavirus, and now we have individuals talking about the COVID-20. It is important for us to recognize that viruses can be a formidable enemy for our nervous system and for our brain. So we must pay attention to what's happening in our environment and get a better understanding of what literally is going on around us and how this can possibly be affecting us. The news has been very charismatic and informing us to a very intense degree of the alternatives and the options that are available, but how much of this is legitimate? We have to really question now what the news, what are our institutions doing for us, and what do we need to do for ourselves? So I've had the opportunity to meet and work with some incredible minds, wonderful scientists, healthcare practitioners, physicians, and we have the opportunity to have one of the most spectacular, dynamic physicians, unique physician, naturopathist, here with us today, Jill Skernowitz. And I met her at a wonderful practice that now has risen in our environment, holgistics.com. And this is a practice that I envisioned over 25 years ago that would exist for individuals who definitely want to use their natural healing capabilities to eradicate any problems that may occur in the body. So Dr. Jill Skernowitz, she's real unique. She is a naturopath. She also is a registered anesthesiologist, no, incredible biochemist and chiropractor, as I understand it, and a specialist in understanding the biochemistry and the pharmacology between herbs, vitamins, and the human physiology of the body. So without further ado, because she has a very long bio here, I would like for her to warm up to you. A special, wonderful person, Dr. Jill, we call her, and I'm going to let her begin to tell you a little bit about what she does while we go through a query of what COVID-19 really means to us who want to stay healthy naturally. So hi, Dr. Jill, and welcome.
Hi, Dr. Jewel. Thank you so much for having me on your show. I look forward to the next hour or so discussing the big issues of today, or the biggest issue today, which is this COVID virus. As you said, I am a naturopathic doctor. What does that mean? Because I think there's a lot of confusion even what that term means. But currently, there are 4 federally accredited naturopathic medical schools in the United States and 2 in Canada. I did attend one of the medical schools. They are in-house medical schools, just like every other medical school across the country. And we do over 4,000 hours of education and over 1,000 hours of clinical internship. And we specialize in treating things non-pharmacologically and without surgery. So that's the focus of our naturopathic care. But when pharmacology is needed or when drugs are needed, we're not opposed to that. It's just not usually our first intervention when we're dealing with patients. So naturopathic doctors, we specialize in diagnosing, preventing, and treating acute and chronic illnesses, and to restore and establish optimal health by supporting the body's inherent self-healing process, right? We know the body can heal itself because if we cut ourselves, no matter what a surgeon does or what a nurse does to that wound, the body has to heal it, right? And we know
Correct.
We can either speed that process up or slow it down by increasing blood flow to the extremities. And if it's a cut on the arm, we'll increase blood flow. And if somebody's a diabetic, we want to aggressively control their blood sugar to make sure that that wound heals in optimal time. So we're always looking to support the body's own inherent healing process.
Well, Dr. Jill, tell us a little bit about, I think it was so interesting that you're a nurse anesthetist, and
yeah,
there's so many other things that you have behind you that make you incredibly special in what you do.
Right.
Can you give us a little bit?
I'd love to. So before becoming a naturopathic doctor in 2017, I actually worked in the intensive care unit as a nurse. The cardiac and surgical ICUs are where I spent my time, and that was way back in the year 1998 was when I worked there. So I worked in the ICUs, and I saw, you know, the best of what Western medicine had to offer. You know, those patients come in critically ill, and that is really a spot where Western medicine shines. I went back to school for my master's in science and certificate in nurse anesthesia, and I graduated with those degrees back in the year 2000. So I've worked in the field of anesthesia for the last 20 years, and I do continue to practice anesthesia today. So my field of specialty is really any anesthetic anywhere in the hospital. So we do OB, we do epidurals, and watch patients in surgical procedures for like C-sections. And then we also go to the emergency room to intubate patients who are in respiratory distress. And we also provide anesthesia for all types of surgical procedures on babies and adults and every age group there is. So I have the best of the both worlds have to offer, I feel. I've been in Western medicine for 25 years, and I've been in naturopathic medicine now since 2014. And I think that we need to learn in this country how to marry those two together a lot better than we're doing, because there are so many bright spots in both. And if we can bring those two types of medicine together, we can do what's really ultimately best for the most important person, which is the patient.
I agree very much, and that is the main reason why I want so many people to know much more about you. So before you go on, because I definitely want you to tell us your incredible insight about the immune system and the COVID-19 viruses in general, let's hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back with Dr. Jill Skirkowitz.
Humanity is experiencing a vast variety of disorders, HIV, Zika virus, Ebola, hypertension, meningitis, STD, Alzheimer's, and many others. These disorders are the results of not knowing how to live within and navigate the human body. Most of us have learned how to drive a car, but have yet to learn how to care for and navigate our bodies. Enroll into the JUL University of Immortal Sciences for Immortal Living to learn how to navigate and maintain a disease-free body. Visit us at www.juis.education or visit us on Facebook.
Okay. Well, if you're just tuning in, welcome. We have a wonderful guest with us today, Dr. Jill Skirkowitz, who is an incredible natural but a phenomenal healer, especially for anyone interested in alternative methods to bring about relief from serious diseases. And Dr. Jill, can you tell us what you are perceiving relative to the capability of the human body, our immune system, as to how we can best approach this pandemic that we're faced with? And give us a little history of how you perceive as a naturopath, anesthetist, nurse, I want to say a natural pharmacologist. I think that's a great description of you. what is really going on with your immune system, the do's and the don'ts, and then from there, how can we interact safely with this COVID-19 virus, because it is everywhere, just like most other viruses, funguses, and bacteria. So tell us what you can do.
Right. Well, first of all, I do want to preface this by saying I don't want anybody to construe this as medical advice. Any of the decisions that you make regarding your health should always be taken into consideration with your primary care physician. As many of you out there listening, I'm not your physician. So your physician is the only one who really knows the intricate details of your health. So please rely on your own physician to make determinations about what you do in regards to your health. So I will, as I speak, I will throw out some suggestions, but they're not meant necessarily individually for people with coexisting conditions. So always take that into consideration. Naturopathic medicine has a unique way of returning the body back to health, right? We already said the body is designed to heal itself. So why doesn't it heal itself in certain instances? And that really stems from the fact that there are obstacles to cure. I liken humans, and it's an oversimplification because we are so gloriously made, but we are like a house plant, right? If we give a house plant good sun and good air and water and some nutrients in the soil, that plant will thrive. But if we pull any one of those things away, even in a minute quantity, the plant starts to wilt and those leaves start to wilt. And unless we address the real cause of the plant wilting, which is the root system, right? That's the foundation of the plant. We are not addressing the real cause. In Western medicine, we've become really good at treating the branches, which are the symptoms. And the symptoms are not necessarily, when we treat them, going to resolve the issue with the root system. So we're always looking for obstacles to cure. So a naturopathic physician follows something called the therapeutic order. And this is what any naturopathic doctor who goes to medical school to practice naturopathic medicine will use in determining how we come up with a treatment plan for a patient. So number one is we remove obstacles to health, right? Like in the case of the plant, if the plant doesn't have enough water or if the plant has something in the soil that's harming it, we need to get rid of that, right? We need to remove the toxins out of the soil. So we're going to remove obstacles to that person's health. In a human, it could be the fact that they're not sleeping at night, right? If somebody's not sleeping at night and they're doing everything else right, can they truly ever be healthy? And my contention is no, because one of those determinants of health, the things that determine our health every day, is out of whack. When that happens, the body usually sends us a sign or a symptom to tell us that, hey, something's out of balance here. You better restore it or something bad's going to happen. So we're always looking at removing those obstacles. We also then stimulate the self-healing mechanisms of the body. In the case of the cut on the arm, we can give certain substances that will increase blood flow to that wound to bring healing mediators and to heal that wound fast. So that's stimulating the self-healing mechanisms of the body. We can do this through clinical nutrition, botanical medicines, hydrotherapy, homeopathy, acupuncture, all of the modalities that fall under the umbrella of naturopathic medicine. We can strengthen next weakened organs and systems. So sometimes somebody has an inherently weakened system. I can give you an example of myself. I had asthma for years that I've since cured, but my lungs tend to be my weak system, even if I get sick, right? It's always going to be the place that I'm extra careful with if I know especially something like this COVID virus is going around. And we'll talk a little bit about how you can prepare yourself for something like that in a little bit. Next, we correct structural integrity. Again, naturopathic doctors are trained in physical manipulation, similar to chiropractic. So if the structure of the person is out of alignment, then the function below the level of that derangement will never be normal, right? So we need to make sure that function structure is optimal so that function can be optimal. So we're going to correct structural integrity. We're going to use natural substances to restore and regenerate if we need to. And again, this is a hierarchy for a reason. We always start with the most important things first, which are those determinants of health and removing obstacles to cure. And then we're moving up that therapeutic order to restore the body back to health. So if we need to, in certain states where we are licensed, we have full prescriptive authority. So we could use pharmacologic agents if needed, but again, notice that's coming quite a distance down the therapeutic order. It's not generally our first go-to unless somebody is really, really acutely sick and needs a pharmacologic substance first. And then our last intervention is high force invasive modalities like surgery or radiation and chemotherapy. And again, I work in surgery. I'm very aware of when surgery is necessary, but should it be our first go-to if it's not a trauma or an accident? Not necessarily. There are other things that we can do to sometimes restore the diseased, and again, it's disease, the diseased organ or function. So we can do other things to stimulate that organ. So that's, again, how we start as a naturopathic doctor moving in. Now let's talk about what we do know about this new virus going around, because I think it's important for people to have the information as it comes. The coronavirus...
Can you just give us some general information first about viruses in general, and then we're going to go to our sponsors, and then we'll come back and you can have a whole segment on coronavirus 19. So tell us about viruses in general.
So viruses
really
in general.
Understand yet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So viruses in general are infective agents of nucleic acid in a protein coat, and they're able to multiply in living cells only. So that is what a virus is. A bacteria is a living organism, and they actually can. They're found everywhere. They're on every surface we touch. They're on everything that we, they're everywhere. They're living organisms that can get inside our body and cause us problems. They live independently or dependently. And so there's a big difference between viruses and bacteria. And again, if you think about a virus, they're not in essence alive. They're genetic material wrapped in a protein coat. So the way that they get transmitted is they have six steps. They have attachment, penetration, uncoating, replication, assembly, and release. So they get into our body and they replicate inside cells. So that's where problems start to arise. And the problem with viruses is that they mutate over time. So viruses don't stay the same, and that is why this COVID virus now, which we will talk about, has become problematic, is it's not the same virus that has been around for centuries.
When you say mutate, I think you should explain that. When you say mutate.
Mutate means that the makeup of this virus is now different. Something has assumed a change. So this virus is not the same virus that we have seen through the centuries that caused the common cold. This type of virus is a virus that can cause the common cold, but now it has changed. Something has changed in this virus to make it more virulent, more aggressive in humans. And we will talk about that more as we go, but that's why it has become so problematic, because it's not the same virus that we have seen before. So nobody has immunity to this virus. Our bodies haven't seen it before. It's new, it's novel. And so there are things that you can do to prepare. You know, Western medicine is wonderful in a lot of ways, but it doesn't have a whole lot to offer as far as protecting yourself from a virus, because viruses can't be treated with antibiotics. Antibiotics are for bacterial infections. So we don't have anything that we can really give in Western medicine to preemptively try to prevent infection. But in naturopathic medicine, we have many things.
Okay, well, let's our sponsor speak to that, and I have a question for you when we come back.
Great.
Before you give us the real ends on the COVID-19. We'll be right back after this mess.
You are listening to the Jewel Network Science Radio Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network provides the neuronutrition and stimulates expansion and evolution of the human brain, nervous system, and body. Remember, our source is a neuron.
You're just tuning in. Welcome. We have a fabulous guest with us this evening, Dr. Jill Skirkowitz. Fabulous, fabulous mind. So smooth, so gentle, but very, very, very powerful knowledge with the capabilities of using that to boost the body's capacity to use its own qualities and capabilities to bring about health and normalcy within its own system, our body. And this is really the foundation for what has been known as holistic medicine, alternative medicine, et cetera. Now, Dr. Jill, tell us a little more about the immune system of the human body, because even though this is, as you've described, this a new entity, that is, it's totally changed. It used to be influenza. Now it's become something different. And the body's immune database has not been encoded with this, what still makes the body capable of being able to nullify the adverse effects that this virus could create if our immune system is healthy?
Well, we talked a little bit about this before the break, but here's an interesting concept to understand. And I didn't really understand it, I hate to admit this, even as an advanced practice nurse, until I went to medical school. Our immune system lies largely in our gastrointestinal tract. So that digestive tract that starts in our mouth and ends where we eliminate food, that is where 80% of our immune system lies.
That's correct.
So there are many, many things that we can do to optimize our immune system function, regardless of what we're faced with, right? And that's the whole idea. We started to say that Western medicine doesn't have a lot to offer in the term of prevention. It's going to be difficult. We do have such things as vaccines in Western medicine, but it will be very difficult to come up with a vaccine for coronavirus or any virus, like we've seen with the influenza virus, because viruses do mutate so fast and so readily. So even if we come up with a vaccine for this coronavirus, most likely by the time it circulates again, it will be a different form of the virus, and therefore a different vaccine would be needed. So a vaccine really isn't going to prevent coronavirus infection, right? So that's really not something that's going to be a feasible long-term plan. But what is preparing the body and trying to prevent illness by keeping our gastrointestinal tract as healthy as we can and keeping our body as healthy as we can. So how do we do that? Well, first off, we have to avoid toxic food today. You know, the food has been genetically modified and sprayed with glyphosate, which is a toxic poison that eradicates our gut microbiome. So we have 10 trillion bacteria in our GI tract that we really need to work in symbiosis with ourselves, right? We need them producing vitamin K, and some bacteria produce neurotransmitters, and they biotransform our food for us. So we need the gut bacteria in our gut to perform optimally so that we can have strong immune system function. So the foods that we eat, and we have gotten really far away from this in the United States, is super important for immune system function. You know, we've been told for so many years, and I was told this with a chronic health problem that I had, that it had nothing to do with the foods that I was consuming. And since it was an immune system dysfunction, and now we know that the immune system lies 80% in the GI tract, it doesn't make sense to say that the foods that we send through that GI tract wouldn't affect our immune system's function, right? Our immune system is heavily dependent upon the foods that we consume. So when we eat processed foods and foods that are heavily genetically modified or sprayed with this toxic glyphosate, this poison that kills off our gut microbiome, right? That's why it kills off our gut bacteria. We don't have appropriate immune system function. Our gut becomes leaky. It doesn't function the way that it was made to function. And now proteins and peptides get into the bloodstream, causing immune system activation. When we have a virus going around or a novel virus like the coronavirus, and our immune system is already suffering, right, for our leaky gut and for the foods we've been consuming, we're not in optimal fighting shape for what comes around. So we need to make sure that we are mindful of the foods that we eat. The other thing is sugar, right? We have such a large sugar consumption in this country. And we know that sugar stops white blood cell function for 4 to 6 hours. White blood cells are something in our bloodstream that help us fight infection. And we have different types of white blood cells. We have neutrophils and lymphocytes and monocytes. And all of these things help us fight off infection. But if we consume large amounts of sugar and our blood sugars increase, blood sugars are inflammatory, insulin is inflammatory, and sugar disrupts this white blood cell function for 4 to 6 hours, we're not in optimum fighting shape for viruses to come around. And we've seen with this coronavirus, and again, we're going to get into the ins and outs of the coronavirus, but that it affects people with comorbid conditions like elevated blood glucose, elevated blood sugars. Those things are causing it to be more reactive in certain individuals. So before the virus comes around, we've just said if those things are if the virus is affecting those people more, then we need to really optimize those things in those people, making sure that their blood sugars are optimal, making sure that their blood pressure is optimal, right? So that they're not a target for this virus. So there's lots of things we can do in naturopathic medicine to optimize the body's function before a pandemic hits. You know, the time to think about an illness isn't once you get it. It's before you get it, so that we can prevent it from occurring, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best time to think about. We don't want to think about cancer or autoimmune disease after we get it. We really would prefer to prevent it from ever occurring. And for so many years, we've said, oh, cancer's just bad genes, or, you know, it's just, you know, unfortunate. But, you know, the body doesn't do anything by accident. You know, when it sends or a sign or a symptom, usually a sign or a symptom has been there for a long time. And we become very good at covering up symptoms with medications, but not really treating the root cause. So I hear this a lot. Is a naturopathic doctor a functional medicine doctor or an integrative medicine doctor? And I would tell you, we are the original functional medicine doctors, because that's how we're trained from day one.
Exactly.
Looking for root cause. Right, looking for the things that are the cause of the body to be decompensating. So, yes, we are functional medicine doctors or integrative medicine doctors, but we do look at the body completely different than Western medical doctors, and that we are taking into account absolutely everything that the body encounters. These are what we call the determinants of health. So that's the air we breathe, the water we drink, the food we consume, our interpersonal relationships, our stress level, our sleep. You know, all of those things matter in our overall health.
Well,
so
Dr. Jill,
yes.
Let me ask you one more question here, because this was so important about the GI tract. Can you now give us a larger evolving picture of how the GI tract, being the center for immune health, how does that now support us with an issue of something that we're not eating per se, that we're inhaling, something that basically can pick up from a contaminated glass or something that goes into the mouth? What is that relationship from the gut immune activity, and now we have to look at what's happening in the nasal passage, in the throat? Can you give us a picture of how that's connected, so we can really understand that what you're asking us to do or not to do,
right,
it will definitely subside or definitely diminish our susceptibility to the COVID-19 virus. What's happening with the gut that makes the neck and the nasal passages immune to this?
Well, here's the interesting part. So viruses enter our body through our mouth, our nose, our eyes, or our ears, but basically the orifices on our face. So when we touch a surface that's contaminated, and we know that this virus has the ability to spread about 4 to 6 feet. So it spreads through droplet nuclei. Somebody sneezes, and the moisture that comes out of them from their sneeze can go about 4 to 6 feet and land on surfaces or people in front of them or whatever may be around. It doesn't hang in the air and wait for you, but it can land on surfaces. So that's why we've accentuated the fact that hand washing is so very important at this time, because if somebody sneezes near a doorknob and you touch that doorknob, or they had the virus on their hands from touching their face and they touch a doorknob and you touch that doorknob and now you touch your face or rub your eye, you've now introduced that virus into the body. So once the virus is in the body, if the immune system is in a depressed and weakened state from eating toxic food, from having blood sugar levels that are high, we're now not in position to fight this virus as optimally as we could if we have optimized our gut function prior. So our gut function, again, by eliminating processed and toxic foods, I do advocate for eliminating gluten and the grains sprayed with glyphosate, dairy, especially during the time of a respiratory virus, because it thickens mucus secretions. And we know that this virus has a propensity to attack the lungs. So we definitely don't want to thicken any mucoid secretions. The cows are also being injected with hormones and eating grains sprayed with that glyphosate, that toxic herbicide we talked about, that kills off our gut microbiome. And again,
so
that's
the problem with the wheat bread. Is that what's the problem with the wheat and the wheat bread and flour? Is that it contains glyphosate?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, there's two problems with wheat. One problem with the wheat is that we hybridized our grain in the 1940s to a dwarf form that we as humans have never evolved to see. We've evolved through the centuries with qualities, you know, we've gotten taller and shorter and darker and lighter, and we've evolved qualities to allow us to thrive in our environment. And as we evolved, these certain foods, when we went from hunter-gatherers to farmers, had been around, and we had evolved as a species to consume them, right? And our GI tracts could support and tolerate them. But in the 1940s, we hybridized our grain, and the intentions were good. We wanted to feed more people, and we did. We fed a million more people. And so, but we didn't realize the biological ramifications that that would have on humans' GI tracts. I don't even think it entered their consciousness, right? They just wanted to feed more people. The intentions were good. And the outcome, though, was we started to see things like celiac disease, a genetic inability to digest wheat, right? But we hadn't seen it before then. This was a new condition. And then we started using this glyphosate in the 1970s, really going really high in the 1980s. In 1988, 1987, we really started to increase our usage of this glyphosate on the grains. So the grains that are the products that are Roundup ready, like soybeans and cotton, and the grains like wheat, these are the products that are heavily sprayed, and they're sprayed for two reasons. One, glyphosate's an herbicide. So the farmers were told that they could have a bigger crop yield because they'd have less weeds in their field. So that was desirable for the farmers. And the second thing is it's a crop desiccant. It's a drying agent. So this, if you take grains that are wet in any way or damp and put them in a silo, they will mold. And molds are very undesirable because we know how harmful they are to humans. But when you spray glyphosate on the crop, it dries it out very quickly so that they can harvest the crops, put them in the silo, and there's no risk of mold contamination. So they had a bit bigger crop yield because they could salvage more crop with less mold, and they had less weeds in their field. So both of these things were desirable for the farmers. So glyphosate is harmful to humans on any of the major crops sprayed with it. And again, cotton, soybeans, corn has problems for another reason, which we can talk about, but there's something called BT toxin in corn. But BT toxin in genetically modified corn also disrupts our gut microbiome. So there are some foods that we really need to avoid, especially in this time of, you know, epidemic/pandemic, right? We need to make sure that we're not drinking the dairy milk, which is going to thicken secretions. It's going to cause our gut to be leaky, activate our immune system, and cause problems. So we don't need to be victims, and we need to get out of the victim mentality in this country. We need to be proactive, and we need to really start thinking, okay, what can I do to optimize my health today? You know, am I taking every step I can to stop smoking? We know that smokers are at high risk with this coronavirus because it does attack the lungs. So am I making every effort and attempt to stop smoking? Am I making every attempt to limit my carbohydrate intake if I'm a diabetic to keep my blood sugars low, right? There are things you can do. You do not need to sit back and be a victim. This is an empowering time as well. And it's a time for us to really start to understand how our environment, including our food, impact our overall health.
Wow. Right? Yeah, Dr. Jill, that is so great. yeah, that's a wonderful, wonderful caveat for most people's thinking at this time, because they're so busy still looking for the answers outside of them and recognizing that the answer is right literally on the end of their fork, or perhaps wrapped up in the paper of what it is that they are consuming in that wrapper. So this is something to really think about, and especially those of us who recognize the importance of the immune system being totally governed by the nervous system and the condition of our brain. This is very significant. And again, all the power at this point lies within us. So we'll be right back after this message, and then Dr. Jill, tell us about the do's and the don'ts of how we can handle the COVID-19 or the coronavirus. We'll be right back.
Great.
Humanity is experiencing a vast variety of disorders: HIV, Zika virus, Ebola, hypertension, meningitis, STD, Alzheimer's, and many others. These disorders are the results of not knowing how to live within and navigate the human body. Most of us have learned how to drive a car, but have yet to learn how to care for and navigate our bodies. Enroll into the JUL University of Immortal Sciences for Immortal Living to learn how to navigate and maintain a disease-free body. Visit us at www.juis.education or visit us on Facebook.
If you're just tuning in, this is a magnificent, fully packed, informative, many, many answers to probably most of your questions show regarding what you can do to circumvent your susceptibility to the adventure that we are now all experiencing and walking together, this pandemic known as coronavirus 19. So Dr. Jill, tell us the ins and the outs, the do's and don'ts about how we can have very little reactivation or activation from this virus and why.
Okay, great. I just want to start and give a little bit of background on this virus and a little bit of the statistics before I really go into how we treat it. So this virus is named SARS-CoV-2, and the disease that it causes is coronavirus. So it is a SARS virus. Coronaviruses are enveloped and they're positive stranded RNA viruses. And it looks like a circle with little crowns on the outside, little thorns on the outside. It's actually a really pretty virus. Globally, as of March 9th, there were 109,577 confirmed cases and 3,809 deaths globally. In the United States, as of today, when I looked, there were 1,629 cases with 41 deaths. So not huge numbers yet in the United States. We were only testing people who had been to endemic areas, so we weren't testing everyone who had symptoms. So the numbers in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I don't want people to worry when we see them climb drastically, because now we are testing many more people. So of course, since we're testing many more people, we're going to find many more cases of the virus. So we will see the numbers climb over the next couple of weeks. That's to be expected because now we're testing everybody, not those who have traveled. So coronaviruses cause respiratory and intestinal infections in animals and humans. So there is a bit of a GI component to this. And it can be spread not just on surfaces, but we call it the fecal-oral route, right? So somebody, you know, goes to the bathroom, doesn't wash their hands well, touches food, somebody else eats it, and this is how hepatitis A is spread. It's called, again, the fecal-oral route. So it's not just respiratory droplets. You know, this coronavirus is not new. In 2002 and 2003, SARS, which is also a similar virus, circulated around. And that outbreak lasted for about 8 months and resulted in about 8,000 confirmed human cases worldwide with 774 fatalities. So that's about a 9.5% mortality rate. 10 years later, the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, which is MERS, came out of Saudi Arabia. And today we still do have MERS outbreaks. And it's interesting. This coronavirus, the vector is a bat. It went into the bat population and came back out and spread to humans. In MERS, it was a camel. So all of these have an animal host, which mutates this virus for us, and then it comes back out and affects us, and we have to be careful because we haven't seen them before. Currently, there are 4 coronaviruses and 2 ongoing coronaviruses, the SARS and the MERS. They are still around, so we have to, you know, be careful. They're directly transmitted to humans from market civets and dromedary camels, so camels and civets. And civets we don't have in the United States, but they're a mammal like a mongoose. And they're not actually allowed in the United States, so you won't find a civet in the United States because they're prohibited because they can transmit SARS, which is probably a good reason they don't allow them in the United States. COVID-19 is a beta coronavirus. So it is a coronavirus. There are 4 types, alpha, beta, gamma, and delta. COVID-19 is a beta coronavirus. And again, we talked about how this is a virus, not a bacteria, right? So signs and symptoms. Fever, cough, and difficulty breathing are the first symptoms of the disease. So this is very common to see with other diseases like influenza. So it is hard for medical professionals really to distinguish between influenza and coronavirus because there's a lot of similar symptoms. So we are now testing any patient that comes into the hospital with similar symptoms, and we will test for respiratory syndromes other than coronavirus. If they test negative, then we'll send the sample in for further testing. But if they test positive for influenza, let's say, we stop there. So coronavirus attaches to, this is a very interesting and novel for coronaviruses, it attaches to something called the angiotensin converting enzyme 2. And it's an integral membrane protein found in the heart, the vascular cells, and the kidneys, and most, and the lungs. And this is where this disease really becomes problematic, because we're seeing people really get the lung component and have problems breathing. It affects functioning of most organs, again, including the lungs and the spleen and the lymph nodes. And in naturopathic medicine, we do have botanicals that can block attachment to these ACE2 receptors, things like licorice and Chinese skullcap and luteolin, thyme and procyon, cyanidine, such as elder and cinnamon. These things can block attachment to the ACE2 receptors. So we can even, if we come in contact with this virus, prevent it from blocking to these, binding to these receptors and causing disease in humans. So there are some preemptive foods that we can eat. Celery, thyme, green peppers, and chamomile tea can help block block this virus binding to these ACE2 receptors.
So would you repeat that again? Celery?
Celery, thyme, green peppers, and
okay.
chamomile tea.
Okay.
And then things with high-end procyanidins and lectins like elder and cinnamon. So
okay.
those two things as well can help. So we can prevent this virus from binding. So once on the receptor of these cells, there's compromised and enhanced vascular permeability and lung edema, like swelling in the lungs, white blood cells accumulate, and then worsened lung function happens. Once the virus begins attaching to the ACE2 receptors, the function begins to be destroyed. And patients on ACE inhibitors, medicines used for high blood pressure, can be theoretically at greater risk because they have a change in the number of receptors when they're on long-term ACE inhibitor therapy. So they could be more, this could be a reason why we're seeing patients with high blood pressure at
mm-hmm.
greater risk for succumbing to the virus. So it's something to think about. During infection, inflammatory cytokines rise. Some of the inflammatory cytokines are molecules in our bloodstream of our innate and adaptive immune system. So things like interferon gamma and IL-1, tumor necrosis factor alpha and IL-6, these are inflammatory cytokines. They initiate a massive migration of immune cells into the lungs, right? And this is why the lungs are so affected. But there are herbs like Japanese knotweed, cordyceps is a mushroom, Chinese skullcap and boneset, and these things can reduce the cytokine levels. So again,
mm-hmm.
there's other things that naturopathic medicine has to offer that the Western medicine just doesn't even know about. So we do have an advantage that we have a lot of natural botanical medicines that work wonderful and trying to mitigate some of these symptoms. Another wonderful herb that we have to protect cells from low oxygen and damage in the lungs is rhodiola. So rhodiola is a great botanical that prevents hypoxia and damage to the lung cells, and it increases oxygen diffusion and increases efficiency for oxygen utilization. I don't think Western medicine has anything comparable to rhodiola.
Mm-hmm.
So those with compromised lung function can benefit from, you know, preemptively using rhodiola. We see rhodiola in a lot of our supplements for adrenal function, because it's a wonderful herb that's called an adaptogenic herb.
Yeah.
And it helps the body adapt and resist physical, chemical, and environmental stress. And
so
this is something that
the origin
we
of
all
that,
see right now.
Yeah, the origin of that plant, that's Eastern India. That's an Indian Ayurvedic plant, isn't it? Isn't that what they
I
use?
I do believe so, but I'm not looking right now at the origin of the
okay.
plant. I'm not
okay.
positive on that.
Okay.
But this virus specifically targets ciliated cells. That means
mm-hmm.
It destroys their capacity to move mucus up and out of the lungs. So we have little tiny hair-like structures in our airway, in our nose as well, that move, they beat, and it moves mucus up and out of the body. So when these get destroyed, we just simply can't move the mucus out. So it gets down deep into the lungs. and it destroys our ability to oxygenate, right? To move oxygen across the membranes that we need to move it across because the mucus blocks it. So there are herbs that protect cilia. Cordyceps is the mushroom that we talked about a little bit. That protects the cilia and the lungs. Olive oil, right? We all could cook with olive oil. It's a wonderful product. Berberine is another botanical that can help to protect the cilia and the lungs.
Mm-hmm.
So we also need to think about protecting the spleen and lymph. Herbs like...
Now say more about that. Most people don't know much about the spleen.
Yeah, so the spleen and the lymph moves the morbid matter of the body out, right? So it goes from the bloodstream into our lymph system. And our lymph nodes are like little sentinels that collect debris of garbage, right? Of stuff that comes through the body. So moving the lymph and moving things, morbid matter out of the bloodstream and out of the body is super important in maintaining health. So I have a little list coming up of all the things that we can do to protect ourselves and to optimize our function.
Oh,
but
wonderful.
I wanted to speak, I've got a great what we can do coming up here. I just wanted to talk a little bit more about how long COVID-19 can stay infectious. We think that it can live on surfaces for 4 to 5 days. And again, making sure that you're cleaning surfaces with an alcohol base that has to be greater than 6% or a bleach solution. But they're suggesting that a greater than 60% alcohol disinfectant, washing your hands is better than a disinfectant. But again, it can live on the surface for 4 to 5 days. We talked about that infection really looks like 80% of people get a fever followed by a cough. And I hate to be alarmist, but death usually is called by that interstitial pneumonia, that deep secretions down in the lungs that prevent oxygenation.
Mm-hmm.
The CDC, off the CDC's website, you know, many times when you go to an emergency room with a lung infection, they'll give you antibiotics and a steroid, right? That's kind of standard in the United States. But they are saying avoid corticosteroid use. Because it's potential for prolonging viral replication. So as that virus continues to replicate, it continues to spiral out of control and get worse, and corticosteroids can make that exponentially worse. So it has to be talked over with your physician. So if you're somebody who's on steroids, certainly don't stop taking them. If you talk to your doctor, there may be something else that you can take that wouldn't promote this virus replicating in your lungs. Who's at high risk for corona? The older you are, the more at risk you are. So children are the least affected. That's great news. And older adults, people who have chronic medical conditions like heart disease, diabetes, and lung disease, obviously they're going to be at the highest risk. So if you are at higher risk, you really probably should avoid big crowds right now. Not to be alarmist, but we don't know, since people are contagious theoretically for up to 14 days before they're symptomatic. We really don't know who's walking around carrying this virus right now. It's kind of like chickenpox. You have it for airborne for a while before you ever come down with symptoms. So to that end, COVID-19 is very similar. So you could be walking around great, but spreading the virus to other people without even knowing you have it. You know, avoiding cruises right now, I think, is probably prudent. What we see on the news, all the cruise ships that have been docked, and unless you plan on staying for a month or two on a cruise ship, you may want to avoid cruise travel. And again, that's
right.
Also a form of crowds,
yes.
Right?
Okay.
And then who should get tested? You know, people who really are symptomatic and older and or have other morbid conditions, but call your physician first. Don't show up at the hospital. Always make sure you call first. We're advising people not to go places where the virus could be spreading. So if you don't have it and you call your physician and they deem you don't need to be tested, you want to be at home and not at the hospital where you could be exposed to the virus. Okay. So here we go. Preventing spread of infection. Wash your hands.
Well, hold on. Hold on one minute. Let's sponsor speak once more, and then you can give us that list. Okay.
Awesome.
We'll be right back. Message, and then make sure you get your pens and papers out. Take a big swallow of water and jot them down. We'll be right back after this message.
You are listening to the Jewel Network Science Radio Broadcasting Frequency. The Jewel Network provides the neural nutrition and stimulates expansion and evolution of the human brain, nervous system, and body. Remember, our source is a neuron.
Oh, Okay, well, if you just tuned in, this is a wonderful, wonderful show. You definitely want to contact us to get the replay, or you can come back later on during the week in our archives and listen to this. And get your pen and paper out now, because some wonderful advice is coming your way. So, Dr. Jill, give it to us. Thank you.
All right. I'm happy to. So coronaviruses, the COVID-19, are most often spread by coughing or sneezing, as we talked about, or through close personal contact and from surfaces, right? And touching your nose or mouth or eyes. So we really want to prevent the spread of infection by washing your hands much more than you ever have before with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. And if you don't have soap, an alcohol-based solution of at least 60% alcohol. And please note that vinegar will not kill this virus on surfaces. So people who are cleaning with vinegar, although normally I love that solution, it does not seem to kill the coronavirus. So a very dilute bleach solution, an alcohol-based solution, those are things that will help prevent the spread. Don't touch your eyes, nose, or mouth with unwashed hands. If you do need to touch your face, and again, I don't think I've touched my face as much since we started saying this as I have in my life, but make sure you wash your hands first before you touch your face. Avoid close contact with people who are ill. Cover your mouth and nose with a tissue when you cough or sneeze, or cough into your elbow, right? We've said that coughing into your elbow prevents, you know, touching something, at least after you've sneezed. Make sure you're cleaning and disinfecting your surfaces frequently. And if you're sick, stay home. And I hate to admit that we in the medical profession are the worst at this. You know, we show up sick no matter what because people need us to take care of them, but we really need to start being the example and stay home when we're sick. And I would advise people to get refundable airline tickets in the next few months, just because I was supposed to be in a conference, a huge medical conference down in Orlando, leaving tonight, and all of the conferences have been suspended. The conference is no longer happening, so I will be home this week, but we need to make sure that we plan and get refundable tickets. Masks should be to protect people who are actively coughing and sneezing from coughing and sneezing that debris out onto the surfaces. So if you don't have anything, or let's say somebody around you, you are in a crowd and they're coughing and you want to put a mask on to protect yourself, theoretically, maybe that would protect you. But really, the person who should be wearing that mask is the person coughing or sneezing. And if you get infected, self-quarantine for 2 weeks. Have somebody, and that means don't go anywhere. Have people bring you food. Don't go out of your house and don't go near other people. All right, so how to stay well in a pandemic environment. And again, this information is not to be taken as medical advice. All interventions that you choose to undertake, discuss with your doctor, please. Only your doctor knows your full medical picture. But here's what I suggest to my patients. Eat organic whole foods. That glyphosate, the herbicide sprayed on conventional grains and things like soybeans, it's a mitochondrial toxin. Mitochondria produce the energy for our cells, right? We need it. It disrupts the gut microbiome, and 80% of our immune system is in our gut. So if our gut is dysfunctional, so is our immune system. Eat immune-boosting foods like garlic, onions, ginger, and mushrooms. Now, certainly if any of those foods bother you or bothered you before the coronavirus came around, don't eat it. I hear my patients say frequently that onions bother them. So don't eat onions if they bothered you before. But foods like garlic is a natural antibiotic. It's got antibacterial and antiviral properties. Same with ginger, right? So there's a lot of functional foods that you can eat to stay healthy. Drink plenty of clean, good water, not from a plastic bottle, right? Plastic bottles have endocrine disrupting chemicals. The plastic seeps into the water, and these can cause immune system dysfunction. And the target for water per day should be half of your body weight in ounces. So if you weigh 100 pounds, 50 ounces of water per day would be where to start. You know, our bodies produce a ton of metabolic waste every day, and that waste needs to go out, leave the body through our, what we call in naturopathic medicine, our emunctories, right? Our organs of elimination. So the kidneys are one of those organs of elimination which need to be optimized to remove morbid matter and waste from the body. Avoid processed foods. You know, processed foods frequently contain genetically modified ingredients. This puts stress on your body to digest.
processed foods typically have high quantities of preservatives and saturated fats and salt and low levels of nutrition and fiber. You know, salt, high salt concentrations can increase something called Th17, which can actually increase autoimmune diseases. So although salt is necessary for life, and we do need a certain amount of salt, we also don't want to overdo salt. So anything in moderation, including moderation, is what we say in naturopathic medicine. So get 8 hours of rest, you know, especially in times like this where we want our body to function optimally. 8 hours of sleep is what the average human needs to function optimally. So if you're not sleeping 8 hours a night, find out why. You know, do you have good sleep hygiene, a good routine? Are you watching too much TV before bed, which TV has blue light coming from it, which decreases our body's ability to make melatonin, right? Melatonin is a hormone that we need for sleep. So if you're watching TV before bed and you can't fall asleep, this could be why. So make sure you have a good routine for sleep. We already talked about avoiding sugar, but it may surprise you to learn that sugar suppresses that white blood cell function for 4 to 5 hours. Again, if you drink a 1 liter bottle of soda or eat 100 grams of sugar, the reactivity of our white blood cell can reduce by, this makes our immune system disabled for 4 to 5 hours, right? White blood cells perform the function of immunity by killing bacteria and viruses through phagocytosis. It means they engulf them. And we want our white blood cells to do this. And vitamin C is vital for proper functioning of white blood cells. Sugar and vitamin C have the same chemical structure. So when we eat it, it directly competes with vitamin C. And as a result, less vitamin C enters into the white blood cells. Sugar doesn't help white blood cells to fight against pathogens, right? Only vitamin C does that. So high glucose levels in the blood weakens the immune system by decreasing the white blood cells reactivity, right? We're crippling our army when we eat sugar. So we want to not eat processed sugars, but you could have some organic fruits and vegetables. And again, during a pandemic, I recommend fruits that don't have a ton of sugar. Mangoes and bananas are all sugar, right? They increase our glycemic load the most. But the dark berries, blueberries, and blackberries increase our glycemic load far less. So those are the berries that I would suggest eating if you're going to eat sugar at this time. Optimize your vitamin D levels. Vitamin D has
This is a little humorous, perhaps sarcastic, but you do recognize that a lot of our population now is going to have to go into withdrawal and detox. Okay.
Yes.
These recommendations are definitely going to require that they're going to have to withdraw from the high carbohydrate load. Okay.
Yeah.
Many of the preservatives, et cetera, can become addictive. So we're going to have to withdraw from that. New habits are going to have to form. Okay. No TV in the bedroom, going to bed at night. Oh my goodness. There's a whole list I can see from the list that you're giving that we're going to have people who are going to be in what they perceive as emotional distress because of the reaction that their body's going to give them from this change that they're going to adapt and adopt so that they do not symptomatic with the COVID-19 virus. So what are we going to do for them emotionally to help them accommodate and adjust to the changes that they're going to have to make in their lifestyle?
Well, you're exactly right. And I think that's why they need to be partnered with somebody like myself or yourself, right? Our integrative medical doctors who can let them know the reactions that they're having are normal when they detox from these foods. But if you're working alone and you have a symptom and you don't understand why you have it, it could be quite frightening. So again, working with a healthcare professional, an integrative functional medicine, a naturopathic doctor, working with us, we can tell you if those reactions are normal. So, you know, also the other suggestions, you know, to make here are, you know, optimizing vitamin D. You know, we lose our vitamin D in the wintertime in the climates like Michigan where we're at now, where we don't get the sun exposure. You know, vitamin D has over 200 antibiotic and immune supporting properties, and we really need that during a season like this where our viruses are going around. The reason flu is cyclical and we have a flu season and it starts when the weather starts to get cold and people stop going outside is because we lose our vitamin D exposure. So it's really important to work with an integrative medicine doctor who understands how to test for and optimize your vitamin D levels. Vitamin C. You know, we all know how good vitamin C is, or you probably have heard over the years, but vitamin C is a really great antioxidant, and it can help to optimize immune system function. You know, it also helps, as we said, the white blood cells, right? And those are our army. So in China, I saw that there was a study where they were doing 24 grams, so 24,000 milligrams of vitamin C over 24 hours infused in the IV. So at Holgistic, where I work, we do vitamin C infusions, and this is a viable treatment for coronavirus, yes. Right? But we do have to do the appropriate blood testing before we give somebody a vitamin C IV, but that blood test only takes a couple days to return. And once we know it's safe to infuse high-dose IV vitamin C, it's a great treatment option for people right now.
So, Dr. Jill, let me ask you this, because, of course, they're recommending, okay, this is what's coming across the TV and on the CDC and Medscape and those kind of allegedly high-quality reference resources to get information on how to conduct ourselves. They keep reiterating separation, separation, separation. But through your entire presentation here today, it becomes very clear that with all of these adjustments that we're going to be making as far as our nutrition goes, lifestyle, et cetera, the separation would only increase the anxiety levels from the changes that are being asked of us. So I had initially seen that this continuous separation that is being broadcasted really is not going to be as beneficial as they appear to think it would be to decrease spread. It's going to really augment and make even more severe the reactions that an individual will have, because this lowers the immune system, the anxiety levels. So now I was thinking that at least with family members, okay, best friends, your healthcare providers, et cetera, that separation is not something that you want to perpetuate. That definitely keeping in communication with family, close circles, your healthcare professionals is mandatory, literally, for you to get through this and to keep your anxiety levels minimized. What do you say about that, Doctor?
Well, I would say we're in a better spot today because we have phones where we can plug in a number and look at the person on the other side, not just
hear
them.
That's communication, right. You don't have to touch it, but at least you're communicating, right. Correct. Okay.
Sure. And we have a lot more togetherness because of things like, you know, the Skypes and the iPhones and the computers that we can see our loved ones on. So I do think if you're symptomatic, you do need to stay away from other people so we don't spread it, but you can clearly go on a computer or go on your phone and maintain relationships while you're isolated. You know, I think it would have been a far worse 30 years ago if this would have happened, because people would have truly been isolated without communication unless somebody came to their front door and knocked on it, right? I mean, you have the phone, but you couldn't physically see the person. So I think today we're blessed in a way that we have technology is a blessing and a curse, right? I think that this 5G, you know, the jury's still out, but it does appear that Wuhan was the first to roll out 5G in December, and then they had this big viral outbreak. So are the two things connected? I don't know. I don't believe there's a lot of coincidences in life. So will we find out that 5G did perpetuate and proliferate viral expansion? It's very possible that happened. So, you know, I'm not so sure that it's great to have the ability to communicate, but I'm not so sure it's going to be great for this virus. So getting back to just a couple more suggestions that I have. Again, we talked about avoiding dairy, cutting down on alcohol. And it's funny, my mom went to stock up on some supplies and she said, you wouldn't believe they have taken every alcohol bottle off the shelves. There's no alcohol left in Costco, which I find interesting because alcohol really does do damage to the immune system, right? It disrupts the gut, making the gut leakier, and it disrupts our immune pathways. So alcohol is not the thing to be drinking unless you're going to use vodka in your hand sanitizer, right, to mix up your hand sanitizer. And again, we suggest 60% or greater. I really don't see a need for alcohol right now. And then we talked a little bit of improving that lymphatic flow. You know, our lymph glands allow the removal of toxic debris from our immune system. So things like lymphatic massage, which is a strategic way of massaging the body to really drain the lymph glands even more effectively. Rebounding, which is a little mini trampoline that you can jump on, which helps the lymph move around the body. And gentle exercise, right? Not stressing the body out during this time with exercise, But gentle exercise, including like a walk around the block away from people, right? A walk around the block, right? If you have any exercise equipment at home, just a gentle workout. You could do jumping jacks or use a jump rope, just something to help the lymph flow around the body. Infrared saunas are a great way to increase temperature, which makes our immune system activate. It increases our interleukins, specifically IL-1 and IL-6. So saunas are a great way to try to help the body detox and to treat also infections. Again, talk to the doctor before you decide to undergo sauna therapy, because there are some things to consider. Limiting Wi-Fi exposure, and we talked about that, at least at night. If you could put your Wi-Fi on a timer so that it's shut off at night while you're sleeping, and put your phone on airplane mode, so at least you're not exposed to that at night while you're sleeping.
Yeah. It makes a difference. It really does. A big difference.
Oh my gosh, it sure does.
Yes.
And improving our voltage. You know, people don't think about this a lot, but our body is basically a big battery, right? We have certain cells that we commonly call like excitable cells, and they're unique because they can generate electrical signals, right? Our heart is this way, right? We see the electrical impulses in our heart. Our neurons, our muscle cells, our touch receptors, all of them use ion channels. And they convert chemical or mechanical messages into electrical signals. So the higher your voltage, and again, exercise increases our voltage. So the higher your voltage, the more healthy you are. The lower your voltage, the sicker you are. So again, gentle exercise. And this is all based on Dr. Jerry Tennant's work. He's a fantastic physician down in Texas who has courses on training on this. His book is called Healing is Voltage. And it's really important to think about optimizing everything right now. So gentle exercise. And then essential oils, one of my favorites. You know, inhalation is the best way to use essential oils for flu, but you can also add them to a diffuser or to dilute them in a carrier oil like coconut oil, which is also antiviral and antibacterial. And there, here's some of the essential oils that can help during a viral infection. So lemon. Lemon clears your nasal passages and allows for steady breathing. Lavender relieves stress. We just talked about the stress of maybe being isolated and being sick. So lavender reduces stress, fatigue, and depression. Peppermint reduces coughs, sinusitis, and throat infections. Thyme has antibacterial activity to help fight respiratory infections. Tea tree oil also inhibits bacteria and fights infections. Clove, which is a component in the thieves oil that I really like,
oil.
Has antiviral and I love thieves oil is one of the best for influenza and for viral outbreaks. And you can also clean your surfaces.
Yes. Well, Dr. Jill, this has been a incredibly jam-packed, very, very platinum-valued interview. So important, and again, it's so interesting how everything is coming to a head here. I just got a notification here that some companies now are giving away free iPhone 11 smartphones to help you spend time at home. Now, do you understand that all of that is actually run on 5G? The very same energies here broadcasting that started this problem in China. But again, you know, everybody has their own agenda, don't they? And knowledge is the key here, that you definitely do not want a phone at this time that is being serviced by 5G technology. This is very, very important. Do not get 5G technology at this point in time while we're concerned about the coronavirus in our environment. That's a no-no. So we got 2 minutes left. What do you want to share with us?
Well, I just wanted
can
to say
we can get to you.
Yes, you can get to me at Holgistic in Royal Oak, Michigan. So we're located at 720 East 11 Mile Road in Royal Oak, Michigan. And our website is Holgistic, HOLGISTIC.com. You can reach us through there. But I just want to leave you with hope. You know, we just gave you a ton of ways to protect yourself and to optimize your immune system. There is no need to panic. You know, check on your elderly neighbors if you know that you have somebody in your neighborhood. Let's start being a community. You know, let's start you know, being do one to others like you would have them do unto you, right? Let's start really acting that way and really looking out for one another during this quote unquote time of crisis, because I think a lot of good things are going to come out of this. Don't be a victim. There are plenty of things that you can do. You don't have to sit and wait for something to happen to you. You can prevent it from happening. So,
Do you agree? Do you agree that if you're not symptomatic, do not submit to testing? What would that be for?
I would agree. I would agree with that. And I would just say, you know, again, we have just given you so many tools, and thank you, Dr. Jewell, for getting this information out there without hysteria and without, you know, we don't need to fear monger at all. We just need to know that there are things that you can do. I love Western medicine, but it doesn't give us a whole lot of preventative medicine. So let's really start to be preventative in everything, not just with the coronavirus, but with cancers and everything that we could potentially face, right? Yes. So I want to thank you again for allowing me to participate. It's been wonderful today.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jill. You've been like the sunshine. It's been wonderful. This is so, so special. And please, contact her now. You know, she's really overworked already, so I don't know what logistics is going to do for all the calls that you'll be getting, but call, find out how you can help yourself, and that perhaps way stimulate them to go through a wonderful expansion, okay, so that they can do many different things in different ways. So again, thank you, Dr. Jill. We want to have you come back in about maybe 3 weeks or so, because a lot of things are still going to be changing, and you can give us an update.
Great. I'm happy to.